AfterBuzz TV. Arrow fans, welcome back. We have the 100th episode. We are in season 5, entitled Invasion. It's the third of 4 in a crossover series, so let's get started.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You know the words, so just sing it.
Back time.
Boo, 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 boo. We're
back to find our way.
Boo, 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 boo.
Tick, 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 tick.
I don't actually know
if you could turn back time,
nope.
You would tell us to stop. Okay, so
yeah,
let's just get
the first two lines
of the course. Let's just get the show started, shall we?
Yeah.
It's a big, huge crossover episode, and hello, so happy to be back. I'm Allie Kona Bradford. Please follow me at BoysandBeauty01, and of course, please co-host the show with us. All you have to do is join our chat. It is hashtag ABTVArrow and say hello to these fantastic friends.
Aw, thanks.
Aw, you know.
Ah, fantastic friends. I like it.
I am Lex
Where?
Michael.
Who?
Oliver. Me. Sometimes. Are we pound? Just
oh,
pumping?
Yes. Okay.
I didn't know what was happening. I'm here now. I am Lex Michael. I'm all over social media at the Lex Michael.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. It's TauriJay.
Hi, all my buddies. I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at KiaJay. That is KiaXet.
And we have an extra special guest, so please give a warm welcome and a round of applause to Miss Lucretia Lyon.
Hey, guys. Woo! I'm sorry. I'm the only one who could show up in for the crossover, so you're stuck with me again on Arrow this week. As usual, you can always find me at LACRETIALY. O-N anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
But we haven't like had you on in so long. It's been forever since I've seen you. You live here.
I know.
She lives here. All right, let's talk. I think we're going to have some really diverse opinions on this panel.
Okay.
I will start by saying that. Obviously, we had a lot of flashy backy moments going on.
Is that a pun?
I like them. I like seeing everybody happy. I know you guys, I heard your commentary after the show was over and everyone was super pleased. That's
my comment. I love that they flipped the script on this, that for the most part, the episode, wow, off to a great start tonight, you guys. The footage, for the most part, that we saw was of essentially flashbacks. It was this what-if hallucinogenic world. And then it was the real world stuff that was a little bit and interspersed and far between and essentially functioned as the flashback footage. So I love it. I love that they flipped the script. I love what they did. I love that they stayed true to the show's conceit without trying to shoehorn in island flashbacks because they would not have fit this episode.
Sure.
True. I have opinions, but I feel like yours differ from mine, and I'm really intrigued.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
People are going to get so mad at me. I love Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have been gone, obviously.
Is that the different opinion?
No, wait. I've been gone, obviously, from this for a few weeks because I was doing some travels and whatnot, so I caught up on everything all at once. And every single episode, I was like, ooh, yeah, this is getting so good, so good. And then I watched this episode, and it was very lackluster for me. I did watch the crossover from Flash. I actually liked that one better than this one. And I felt like this one was trying to cluster because it was the 100th episode. I loved the acting. Don't get me wrong. The storyline, I just felt like they were trying to compile all these characters in this one episode to celebrate the fact that it was the 100th episode, that no storyline really could be complete because we got a snippet of this person and a snippet of this person, and hey, it was really good to see ya. I enjoyed seeing ya. But the actual story itself, and maybe because I'm not a big alien person, I was like,
I feel the exact opposite. This episode was so much stronger than The Flash last night. I was ready to throw stuff after watching The Flash last night, and I thought this episode was very cohesive. It was really good at, hey, remember this? Hey, remember this storyline? Hey, let's kind of wander down this AU where this could have been without going, hi, guys! Like, I feel like it was all very well fit in. The only one who really got the short end of the stick in the communal hallucination was Dig. we needed
does.
To fit you somewhere. Sorry. Whatever.
I mean, he got to be the main hero, though. I'd like to imagine that means that secretly he wishes he was the Green Arrow and, like, resents
Oliver
so
much. He was an angry Arrow. Or a hood. He was an angry hood.
Well, so was Oliver.
Oh, yeah, but I just felt like
Arrow, not Hood.
Well, yeah, I just think that he took on, it was just interesting because he took on the angry persona that Oliver had, right? Because usually Diggle is a little reserved, but he's smart, wise, and everything else. And this time he was the, I really can't control my anger, I'll be Oliver. Woo, 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 you can't see, rah, rah, growl, 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 growl. What did you think?
Well, it's funny. Like, last night's Flash and tonight's Arrow, I still think the Human Target may be wearing the Oliver mask because I've liked Oliver the past two episodes and I normally think he's a giant douche. So I love that.
Well, he normally is.
And so, the mention of Tommy being a doctor in Chicago was literally the best thing ever.
Yes.
R.I.P. Tommy Merlin.
Aww. I'm so sad Tommy couldn't come. Well, you know, he's a doctor. He works a lot of hours, and Chicago's not exactly next door. And it's like...
We got the nice, fun Tommy hologram at the end.
Yeah.
Yes. We got waving next to Yoda.
Strange photoshopped Tommy Merlin on the stairs. Yeah.
The hallucinogenic Oliver Queen cheerleading squad. It was like the end of Evangelion up in there. Very good job.
I have a lot of thoughts about this episode, and now that we have the first two installments of the main part of this crossover to look at next to each other, it's interesting to me that they chose to air the crossover at the same time as Supergirl was doing their mid-season finale, Arrow was having their 100th episode. There are other considerations that are significant that are overlapping. So it definitely feels a little bit like we're trying to balance, not just within the story, but on like a meta level, we're trying to balance a lot of really big moving parts that don't necessarily fit that comfortably or easily together. Having said that, while not every moment worked last night for me, and certainly I think we'll talk about there were a few moments tonight that didn't quite work for me either, I loved both of these episodes. Like, no reservations. I loved both of them. And it feels, these shows now feel like reading a comic book.
Yeah.
The experience is so like reading a comic book in a way that it has I've never seen on TV, which I think is insanely exciting.
Yeah. And expanding on your statement about like what them balancing all the different parts, like, to me, after thinking about it the last couple days and kind of hearing people's feedback, like, because it's hard for me to see it from a casual viewer standpoint.
Right.
But, like, I imagine Supergirl being its finale and this being the 100th episode, it gives extra incentive to watch these in the midst of the crossover if you don't care about, like, who the legends are or what the Flash is doing. So you're like, all right, great. I'm going to watch this mid-season finale, and then maybe I'll get a little spice. Or I'll watch this 100th episode, really feel the feels, and then, like, get a little bit of fun on the side.
That's true. It makes sense, too, how they would be making some of these decisions to maybe pull in viewers that aren't watching all the shows. I think it's no accident that both tonight's episode and last night's episode had a scene where we stopped so that a character from a different show could introduce all of the other characters by name.
Yes.
And I was like, that's actually really smart, because if you're only watching this because you like the Flash, you don't know these people either. So Cisco gets all their names. Now you have them. Now we can move on.
And now I have to wonder if they're going to do that tomorrow, because Legends was definitely a show made for fans that were already watching Flash and Arrow. So if they're working off that metric, are we going to have another introduction scene, or is it just going to be like, let's be real, if you're watching this, you know who these people are already.
I would
Let's
say Nate and Vixen were both on the ship almost the entire time.
That's a good
so
point.
So we could get a scene of, hi, I'm Steel. I'm Animal Powers Lady. Who are you guys? And then we'll recap it. I would be a little surprised if we don't get even a condensed who are you scene.
And really quick, I don't mean to cut you guys off, but I do want to see if we can get the chat pulled up on the main screen. That would be awesome, so we can see whatever you guys are saying in the chat room. But let's talk about some of the flashbacks. Anybody have one that was in particular their favorite? And before I open that floor up, I just want to say I was reading an article, and I don't remember who was commenting on it. It was a writer or a director of some sorts, and they were just saying how they felt like this is one of Stephen Amell's best episodes emotionally, and I will say I definitely agree. I've never been a Team Laurel Oliver person, just because, you know, I liked Felicity and what have you, but I definitely think they worked so well in this particular episode.
They obviously have chemistry.
Yeah.
I would go so far as to say this is series best work for both of them.
Oh, I
agree. Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And I just, God, I think everyone's still sitting here going, oh my God, I miss Laurel. Oh, here she is. Ah, shoot.
And I like that.
This is not going to end well for anyone.
But you know what made me really curious, though, is because earlier, in a few episodes back, we were all talking about Laurel coming back when it was spoiled that Katie Cassidy was going to come back to the episode. And one of the things that I had read was a comment by Wendy Miracle. She said she was coming back. She said it was because of Flashpoint. But she also made it seem like Laurel was going to be back for good.
My assumption when I saw that was either it was going to be her around as Black Siren a little bit more, or that...
That's right.
Or that maybe they'd find a Laurel from Earth, I don't know, 118 or something.
Right.
But now apparently she's going to be all over the place, so it's entirely possible it'll be a combination of both, and then we'll get weird alien mind control Laurel like we got tonight. The applications are endless.
Yeah, to me, the way that they opened up with him calling her Dinah Laurel Lance and just the whole tone throughout, this is like, why is this not the Laurel we had the entire time? This is someone I could have believed becoming Black Canary. And so maybe this is sort of them rebooting the character to make her what, you know, most of us expected. Because I like Black Siren, and I would love for her to join the Legion of Doom on Legends. But yeah, I would really like to see Dinah Lance.
Yeah.
Well, I think that...
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, just kind of elaborating on that. I think that she was so perfect because she was everyone's view of that character, especially post-mortem.
Yes.
And so, like, we got to see how everyone else sees her, which I thought was a really nice touch.
And this is also, I would imagine that they've been planning this crossover since we got news that, okay, our three shows are renewed and we're getting Supergirl. We're doing a four-way, let's do this, let's go, let's have some fun. And so if they already knew, okay, she's going to be in the grave, we have to find a way to bring her back, they've probably had a lot of time to put into this one. And so the writing is a little tighter, at least for Arrow, because for the Arrow writers, they're also doing, okay, this is our 100th episode, this has to be special. And so, yeah, I think you're right with getting the idealized version of Laurel, because she's one of the only people that is not in the Matrix at this point. She is a Matrix construct.
Yeah, it's interesting too that you talk about the writing being a little bit tighter tonight, and I do not disagree with that. I think it's so interesting that in the span of one episode, we've got a show that feels arguably the least like itself it's ever felt.
Yes.
You've got spaceships, you've got Oliver Queen firing lasers, you've got them running away from aliens, and maybe that's your cup of tea, and maybe it's not. However, in the same 40-minute block, you've got, to me, this show feeling the most like itself I think it ever has. And reminding me of not just its own history, but the fact that, all right, I was watching this episode tonight thinking about how before we started this season of all these shows, we had four seasons of Arrow, one of Supergirl, one of Legends, one of Flash. So that's seven seasons of storytelling and universe building.
Dear God.
We are now playing in a universe that feels massive. Mm-hmm. And I love that we can go all the way back to the beginning and we can look at the kernel of where it started. We can track it through what the present is now, where we've got the new recruits trying to save them, buddying up with the Flash and Supergirl. And then we can go way egregiously over the top with the aliens and all of that. And it feels of a piece within the story they're telling. That's very impressive to me.
Yeah.
This was just a really good episode.
So anyway, I really enjoyed...
I acknowledge your statement.
I acknowledge really the first half of the statement. Again, I felt like the acting for every single one of the actors was spectacular. That's what I think. And I will leave it at that. But I did enjoy seeing Moira back. She looked... freaking stunning.
Yeah.
This is going to be a weird comment that has relatively nothing to do with the storyline itself, but we haven't seen her in a few years. And she looked just as good, if not better, than when we saw her before, and extremely youthful. And I don't know if that has to do with the fact that she's a lot more happier in this universe. Because even as Thea mentioned, we have happiness. And every single person that wasn't, or that was a part of this facade, was just so light. And everything about them. You know when they say stress can weigh you down?
Mm.
I don't know. Everybody seems so much...
But I think part of it is it's lighting, it's changing the makeup, it's all that fun stuff on the back end.
Done.
And then on the front end, this is an idealized Matrix simulation.
Right.
Like, that is 100% what this is. And so, of course, everyone's going to look better and look happier, and it's going to be better because you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to stay in this nice little world and not ever think about anything else. That was why the initial Matrix failed. Because the human brain does not believe in a perfect, idealized world.
I'm going to call someone out. East Blue Drew. Don't cuss at me. That's rude. And I will call you out on that. I'm entitled to my own opinion.
Yeah.
As is he. I respect his opinion.
Likewise.
And I think having diverse opinions makes for an interesting show. If we all agreed on the same thing and all said, yeah, then we would be sitting here in silence.
It'd be boring.
Yeah. So, or we would just all be saying, yeah.
Controversy is good.
Which, by the way, that's like amusing for the first 30 seconds, but by minute 41, that's going to be really unpleasant to listen to.
Right.
You know there will be people who will listen to 4 hours of that just to see what the end's going to be. And at the end, it's going to be,
Maybe it's a sound frequency that just unlocks relaxation centers in the brain and we all become millionaires. It'd be amazing.
That would be awesome, too.
But you can get this podcast for free on iTunes.
Yeah. Lucretia, we haven't heard anything from you in a little while, and I apologize. You're just so far away over there, so throw something at me.
Well, I'm just super comfy on this couch. And everyone in the chat keeps mentioning Constantine and making me sad because he wasn't in this episode. Oh, and he still doesn't have his show. What about Friday night, Constantine, and then you don't cancel it?
I guess we could technically, all right, we could, if we want to include the season one of Constantine, then we're at 8 seasons. And you know what? Network deals are what they are. If Supergirl exists on Earth 38, my headcanon is that Constantine's on like Earth 46.
Sorry. Vidar DJ 16 Starkill. That's one heck of an interesting name. So is anyone else strangely turned on by everyone saying, yeah, like that? No, just me? Okay.
We found our market.
Yes.
I heard it.
So someone's going to take that like 3 seconds and loop it for 3 hours and just be like, yes.
So we were just talking about Oliver seeing his parents again.
Yeah.
And we were acknowledging repeatedly how impressed we were with Stephen Amell's work on this episode in particular. So even though they feel a little bit disconnected, these crossover episodes are telling one big story. So last night, earlier in this same story, we got to see Oliver and Barry bond over the loss, the mutual loss of their parents, and how heavy that still weighs on Oliver.
Yes.
So now having them in front of him again and then having to say goodbye to them again, that, like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sitting going like, I'm going to cry. I'm crying, like, start crying thinking about it. It's incredibly powerful. And again, like, mad props to Stephen Amell because he was killing it this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And this is something that you wouldn't have gotten if this was the first season of the show. This is something that has the weight of 5 seasons behind it. So well written, so well acted that you get these moments like this and you're like, oh God, oh boy, here we go.
And the thing is it's very reminiscent of the first crossover with the Flash and Arrow. And one of my favorite scenes of all time is when Oliver's talking about losing both of his parents, seeing them die in front of him. And then Barry's like, I saw my mom die too, and I don't go around torturing people. And he's like, I'm just less emotionally healthy than you, Barry. Like, that's one of my favorite Oliver moments where he just owns the fact that he's not well adjusted.
Well, and now Barry absolutely has no leg to stand on in terms of that anymore because he literally screwed up the world. So
I really love now that Supergirl can hang out with them. You've got two really, really cheery, even though Flash has been maybe a little more somber the past year or so, two, like, ultimately very cheery up superheroes with, like, especially with Renee.
Yes.
Who's just not, some of these moments, and we'll talk about them, some of these moments didn't quite land for me. I adored Flash being like, what's your deal, dude? Why are you so mad?
What's your damage?
Delivery on that.
Being so sassy
about
it.
You know that Supergirl's going to go back to her Earth and be like, yeah, you know, I like Barry, but everyone else on Earth 1 is kind of a dick.
Why are they so mad?
Wait, what was the line, though? I think Renee said it was between when he was talking to The Flash and when he was talking to Supergirl, something about saving the world. Oh, you guys think you just saved the world and this is us? And they looked at each other and they go, Well, we do
make the world a better
place. Yeah. And, well, you know, when Renee had said, so obviously he's, you know, I don't need no stinking superheroes and they're evil and blah, zee, blah. And obviously something happened to you in the past. My theory.
Yeah.
But the fact that he had his butt saved and for him to be like, I don't give apologies, sweetheart. I was like,
He basically apologizes without. But so those moments, I really liked all of those scenes. That tiny mini arc for Renee did not quite work. I thought all the actors did a very fine job with it, but on the page, it didn't quite work for me.
There were two of those that I'm with you. It felt like we had a couple of things where if they had been through the entire episode, if there had been a little bit of time devoted to them, then I would have liked them more. They would have felt more organic. But, well, I hate aliens and superpowers. And 5 minutes later, you know, aliens and superpowers are okay. Like, okay, well, that came out of nowhere and went back just as quickly.
Yes.
Same with Thea. I'm staying here. I've had 35 seconds to think about it, and I have changed my mind. I was expecting her to come back. I was expecting her to come back towards the end of that fight and turn the tide for someone somehow.
But
not just be like, hey, guys, what's happening?
My only potential explanation that is in no way validated by the episode is maybe time works differently in Dominator Inception land. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe for everybody else was a few seconds, but for Thea, she'd been sitting thinking about it for hours, having some cocktails, and suddenly I'm Inception sober again and I know what I have to do.
Well, in a dream. Also been in there for less than a day, and the stuff that was going on with Oliver was a day and some change.
Yeah.
Also, whatever.
Also, the thing that got her out is kicking alien butt, and she's like, man, I'm going to miss all that alien butt kicking, so I got to get out there.
For sure.
I just love Oliver. Okay, I'll leave you here in this alien hallucination pod. I mean, I'm going to have to rip you out eventually, but
for now, enjoy.
For now.
Right, that's the other thing, too, where the part of me was like, why don't you just leave her and assume that hopefully you guys will win, and then it's just going to cancel the Dominator Dreamland anyway?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. We needed that moment. And I like the way they played the moment where he says goodbye to Thea.
Yes.
Yeah. I also...
That was good. Showing up 30 seconds later, I changed my mind!
Like, that's fast.
That went nowhere. Great. Awesome.
Okay. So, these two moments I'm going to... From a writing perspective, they fulfilled a necessary purpose in that they are the alternative perspective that, like, so in The Flash and and everything leading up to now, everyone has been really accepting about things that are happening. It's like, oh, you're from another dimension? Okay. Oh, you're from another... There's aliens? Cool. So I like, in terms of Renee, that he is kind of... he views metas the same way that, like, Albert does from The Flash, if you're not watching The Flash, in that metas aren't necessarily they're not necessarily accepted by everyone. So I like that was a necessary thing because I felt like everyone was being so accepting of things. And the same with Thea in that she made a good point that, you know, in this dream world, whether it's a dream or not, it is everything that they've ever wanted.
I mean,
despite what's happening outside, maybe the aliens just wanted to give the humans everything that they wanted.
Well, they poke and probe inside their brains.
Which I love, too. That's exactly what the Dominators are about in the comics as well, is they're more about let's sit back and not get our hands too dirty and probe for intelligence. So I liked that aspect of it. And there was something else I was going to say that I forgot.
Did it have anything to do with Thea? Hey.
Yes, I was going to know. Thank you.
I was going to go with.
Borby T-Mailer. So, I, Tari, completely get what you're saying, and I agree with you, and I'm glad that there was that alternate point of view represented. The reason it maybe rang a little false for me, and maybe this is ultimately what it is, maybe Katie, for you as well, is not so much that there was a change of heart. It's not even that it happened that quickly in both cases.
Yeah.
It's that we had a character who all of a sudden took a really hard-line stance, and then in a very short span of time took the immediate opposite hardline stance without, you know what I mean? Like, I would, I would understand if Renee had the same scene, but it was with a little bit more of like, I'm still not super comfortable with this, but I appreciate that you just saved me from dying horribly. So, okay, it's tenuous, yeah. But we're going to get there.
Like, yeah, you saved my life. I'll give you that.
It feels like we did a total 180 in both cases really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just what didn't ring true for me tonight. And honestly, if it's two moments out of the whole episode...
Yeah, I'm not... These aren't even complaints. This is more like,
And that's why I liked it better than Flash, because for Flash, the whole through line with the drama was just like, oh God, really we're doing this? But for these, it was like, well, that was a weird little moment. Oh, it's getting good again.
On top of
we talk about that fight scene?
Actually, I wanted to call out a few people that are tweeting. So, really quick... Paradox Kid says that Oliver's leadership and maturity in the crossover has been outstanding. And then Billie Jean Girl is actually the one who was saying, what did you think about the fight between Barry, Kara, and the Cyberwoman? And I'm glad you said the Cyberwoman, because I would have called her Finger Lady.
Cyberwoman is a Torchwood reference.
I know.
I can't get past that.
That made me really happy. But not
down
anywhere
to the
near
eye,
as
down
happy.
Down to the half the body, as, down to everything.
Okay, so... Flash and Supergirl tagging each other in and out of a fight and Punch clotheslining this robot lady is about my favorite thing that exists now.
And if we're going to have Torchwood references, could Malcolm be bisexual with John Constantine like in that fan fiction I sort of wrote?
I didn't realize how badly I wanted that in my life until literally just now.
No, planting seeds.
I'm in it. I am in it to win it. Oh my God.
It was actually nice going into a different fight, but going back into the... alternate universe, if you
will. That's the fight I wanted to talk about.
Okay, it was cool to see, because Malcolm, where have you been? It was cool to see him. I did not expect to see Damian Dark, so that one caught me off guard. I'm sure this cast probably had so much fun reuniting with each other and be like, hey. But somebody in the chat had said, and it already scrolled up, but she'd said, I could not take Deathstroke seriously because he looked like he was in a cosplay outfit.
Deathstroke has always looked like that.
That's pretty much what he looked like in TV.
No, that's his thing.
I really wanted somebody to fight him and accidentally knock off the mask and it actually be Manu Bennett.
I know.
That would be great.
I was really amused that Damian Dark didn't seem to have magic in the Matrix.
I guess he just
science has no reason for that. But I love the fact that the enemies from Ray's past that he had to face were Slade soldiers.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That now...
Because I was like, okay, those are random army people. Oh, no, they're not. Oh.
Yeah, they killed his fiancée.
Yeah, that they reached deep for that. And I love that they did that. I love that they went there. The choreography for this, well done, Bamford. Well done. Holy cow. And some of the framing for this, just the fight with, like, the water coming from the sprinklers and the moon behind him, the framing for some of these shots was just...
Did you guys have a favorite moment in that fight? Because I did.
That one with the framing and the, yes.
Okay,
the
for you was that one.
And also Thea firing the arrow and Sarah that grabbing
it. That is it. That and is. Putting that it in Damian it. Dark the way he did to her sister.
Yes.
I loved that.
Yeah, was the best moment. And then Deathstroke getting it in the eye again. But yeah
Deathstroke was killed twice in this episode. Yeah. So apparently Matrix Deathstroke is a wuss.
Because it wasn't really Manu.
No.
You know, Love the Gem brought up a point. I actually was thinking the same thing, too, when I was watching it, is, where is Nyssa? I would have loved to actually seen her there, because she is an enemy, but she's not an enemy, but she is an enemy. And then there's also Katie Lotz, who's in there.
Her ex-lover.
And she was very much playing the more lesbian side of her character versus being bisexual.
Yes.
So to see the two head-to-head, because it felt like what the aliens were trying to do with these... figments of their imagination, if you will, is pull out from their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know, like when Oliver was trying to leave through the portal and you've got every single person he's ever loved or been important to him sitting there, it's almost like they're trying to keep them in that world. So why didn't Sarah have that opposing Nyssa force?
Yeah, that was very odd. I guess Katrina Law wasn't available, but she had been in multiple seasons. Same thing with Lila was in the Flash episode, but she wasn't in tonight's episode.
Yeah.
Fatma B had brought that up, and I was like, yeah, that's true. She was in the flashbacks from the one before.
Yeah, my assumption is that wherever in the present where we were spending time with Barry and Kara and the recruits is that she's just off somewhere doing Argus stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the president did just get murdered.
President got incinerated in this universe. She's probably super busy.
I get why we wouldn't bring Nyssa back, because we're trying to keep In this Matrix fantasy world, it's none of this has ever happened. No one ever went on the boat. It's all very nice and normal. And no one went into the League of Assassins. No one was on the island. But she met her at the League of Assassins. So it's a lot harder to retcon, oh, this is this person whom I love and I met them here. It's much easier just to leave them out so they don't start triggering those memories.
Yeah, that explains.
Because the only memories of her that Sarah has start with the League of Assassins and then go on.
Yep,
right.
No, but I meant at that end fight scene, though, at that point, because Malcolm showed up at it. Well, he was...
He's demon to deal with, and Damian Dark at this point is Sarah's demon to deal with. This is not really her demon.
The only real demon that was missing was Andy.
But somebody said that the actor was actually busy.
That was my assumption.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I assume is the same reason we didn't actually see Manu Bennett's face. But that actually, I was thinking about why there was such a low League of Assassins presence in this Matrix scenario, and that is actually a perfect explanation in universe for why that would be.
But what about Deadshot? Like, he could have been there too. I love Deadshot.
I guess he was busy.
Yeah.
Siva Ram is yelling at us right now.
And I'll talk about Ra's al Ghul.
We're talking about it right now. We're literally talking about it right now.
We're on a delay, right?
The panel is on chat is on a minute delay.
Yeah. So and to be fair, Malcolm Merlyn did a stint as Ra's al Ghul. So there was some demon's head representation happening in this lineup.
There was a little bit.
And we're talking about demons and losing parents. Slade killed his mom.
Yeah.
We're focusing on, that's the big deal here. We are dealing with someone, each of them is dealing with someone who caused a massive loss in their lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I wish for Thea, it was her loss of agency. Thanks, Dad.
Poor Thea.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the quote-unquote current time of what's going on, because even though they were small little increments and bits, I think that they deserve being talked about as well. We had Curtis, he's normally a little, he geeks out over stuff, but he was real enthused this entire episode.
I don't blame him.
Oh my God.
I'm so happy, but I'm so mad, but I'm so happy. And I'm like, that's how I've been watching this entire crossover. Well done. Curtis is the audience.
It's like, they're assholes, but this is so cool.
I like that everyone was so annoyed with him. It made me, because he's doing everything that what Cisco does and what he does on a regular basis, but everyone's like, just do your job, bro.
He is, and I love, even the chat is calling him Mr. Terrible.
And they're wrong.
And I'm like, I love him. I love how Cisco's like, oh, your techie makes TV references too. Real original.
That's true, and Cisco's grumpy this season, so it's probably even more off-putting, because it's like, it's the happier, taller version of me.
I am so tired of grumpy cat Cisco, I just can't even.
I agree. I'm so done with happy.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I love it. We know you don't. Put your hood up and pull the strings like... I don't mind it.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, exactly that. Sharpen your little throwing knives. And bum, 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 bum.
Okay, you know who we didn't see in the present in this episode was Prometheus. So do you think Prometheus watched the news and was like,
I'm taking a break.
Nope, taking the week off.
And Artemis.
Yeah, I assume Artemis, because we saw her apparently sell the team out at the end of one of the last ones, I assume she's off somewhere being duplicitous.
Yeah, Marty,
she's having a date with Prometheus.
East Blue Drew brought...
Interesting.
Go ahead.
That's an interesting ship.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say Mark Guggenheim brought up the reason Artemis wasn't in the episode is because it would be too distracting, because she was going to be a big part. They're going to reveal the betrayal in the next one.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
But yeah, I want to know what Prometheus is up to this week.
Well, it's Sipa Ram says you're Prometheus, so why don't you tell us, Lex?
He is not co-hosting an after show. That's not what he's doing.
In the chat, I wanted to talk about this. I like that they brought this up. East Blue Drew says the religion stuff was really smart, and I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd mentioned it earlier on in the season. I'd never picked up that Rory was Jewish. I don't know if they'd ever said that. I don't know if there were context clues that just went straight over my head, because I'm Roman Catholic and we're not known for knowing things about other religions. We're bad at that. So it was really interesting just to have this moment that kind of came out of nowhere, like, okay, we're going to talk about religion, and then have it come back in their language and have a basis for knowing the Dominator's language and being able to decode it. Like, that I love.
That was cool.
That was incredible.
Very cool.
Especially since there was the reference about, well, if there really is a God, then why would there be aliens and blah, blah, blah. And then they're speaking the language of God.
Of the Torah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like that. I actually like when they bring up faith as an alternative point of view. Lucifer is another show that's really great about doing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really interesting to see that perspective because so much of TV tries to veer away from it. Mm-hmm. But it's such a major part of our world. And especially with, you know, it was used to help because, yeah, what language would aliens be speaking?
And he recognized it right off the bat. Yeah. Like, well done. And Chad is saying that they mentioned it once earlier.
Oh.
Okay.
We missed that.
Cool. Really, I knew Felicity was Jewish. Like, yeah. I picked up on that.
I just want to say, I know that, unfortunately, fans, we started a little bit late tonight, so I apologize. That also leaves us with not quite as much time tonight to do the show, so I want you to have an opportunity to read some of the things from our iTunes comment box, because I know you said you want to say it before we wrap the show. So let's hear from you guys a little bit. We always appreciate when you rate and comment and do all those fantastic things, so take it away, Katie, and
well,
if you're not
I've
ready...
I've got to get the thing to load again, because the iTunes on my iPad hates me occasionally, but you guys, do you mind if I do the spiel or do you want to?
Go ahead, do the spiel. But while you do the spiel, I'm just going to go ahead and cue my engineer to say if you could please cue up all the news and gossip I have.
Thank you guys so much for everyone who goes on to iTunes, who rates and subscribes and reviews. It is really super helpful for us because when that happens, of course, we read your reviews and we adore them. And also our producers read the reviews. They take a look at these and say, people really like this Arrow After Show. We should keep doing this Arrow After Show. So that is how you keep us on the air season after season, is going on and saying, yes, I really love these reviews. And that's the best you can do for us. You can go onto iTunes, you can rate us 5 stars, and you can subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review saying, yes, this is why I like this. If you are not in the American iTunes store, if you are in the British store or the Australian store or somewhere else, we love you. We cannot see your reviews. Please take a screen cap of them and put them in our hashtag, same as if you're reviewing the podcast on Google Music. Seriously, screen cap the reviews, throw them in the hashtag ABTVArrow. We will see them. You will get a shout out. Seriously, we adore you guys.
Okay,
we
have five. I love it. We only have 7 more minutes, so let's get to it.
All right, we have 5 new reviews. We have Awesome Podcast from A String of Numbers. Love, love, love this podcast. Awesome show, even better podcast. Lex and Tara, you guys are my heroes. Wish I knew much about the DC Universe. You guys keep up the good work, everybody. Peace.
We love you too.
Yeah,
you're
awesome.
Predictions by BayFan74. Carly Pope is Prometheus. Enjoy all the DC after shows. What a Great Buzz by Master of Gamers Forever. Always look forward to this after show every Thursday morning on iTunes. Love the camaraderie between the hosts and love listening to Lex and Tari nerd out.
What?
Yeah!
We love you too!
Yeah, you're awesome!
I'm not a good enough nerd.
It's okay.
Fashionably Late by Browncoat VC. I'm showing up late to this party too. ABTV Ruby, SAO, and Attack on Titan. Hello! That's nice. All mine.
And Brown Coat for life.
I can happily say that this is fantastic. This is as fantastic as all the rest of the after show podcasts I've listened to. These episodes are an awesome way to wrap up my nightly Arrow binges the day following. You guys are amazing. Keep it up. And my personal favorite review title.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes. From Alex for Real Ratchet. I love this show. While I watch Arrow, I think about what everyone's going to say. Tara's such a nerd, it's convenient. Katie is a beast. Hey!
Convenient.
Lex is always fun. Because of him, I have the Arrow theme stuck in my head. And Ali Kona's name is on point.
Nice.
Nice to say about you, but I do like your name. So, with that said, let's get into some of the videos because we have some really awesome videos.
Well, okay, it was the other girl whose name I can't spell is on point, and so I filled in, and then I failed.
Got it.
You are on point.
Okay. All right, so really quick, this is actually a really funny video, so let's just watch when I'm going to talk.
Okay.
Have you guys seen the Stephen Amell School of Butt Acting?
Of what?
Butt acting.
Oh, God.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Have you guys seen this? You guys ever seen this on YouTube? Have you guys been playing a lot of joke on me for 5 years?
All right, and let's skip ahead to the second cue.
There was a great crossover episode we had.
So I'm going to skip ahead to what the Stephen Amell School of Butt Acting really is, because David Ramsey is going to do a demonstration for you of what exactly it looks like to see the butt acting. So my engineer is queuing that up. He's got the time cue, and then we're going to pull it right on back. in the meantime.
I'd like to imagine that it's...
Speaking of like Buns, they said we forgot to mention Buns of Steel. He was there.
Yes. We need to hit the last couple minutes.
So, when Steve is done with his line, only me and Willa can see this. When Steve is done saying his heroic line, this is what his right butt cheek does. You're tied up.
Wait, it gets better. Hold, please.
Oh, dear God.
Me and Willa literally peed ourselves. We're watching this like, oh, my God. Do you see this? Do you see this? He goes further. He says, you're tied up.
All right, so we can cut that off. You can look it up on YouTube, but it was just funny because the gist of it is that Stephen Amell had no idea he was clenching his butt as he's saying these lines. I thought it was awesome.
So good.
I had it skin tight. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's how he gets his voice so deep.
Omega Delta Phoenix says, really quick, is this CW fan fiction?
If anybody doesn't know, Stephen Amell got hit headbutted by a fan in a bar.
Yeah, somebody wanted to fight the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
My name's Andrew, and I wanted to ask you how you are because of your face.
Oh, I'm great. Like, once and for all. I can't believe that it took 5 years for this to happen, but I was out in a bar in Syracuse having a really good time watching the UFC fights. Some dude taps me on the shoulder. I turn around. He goes, wham! Headbutts me right in the face. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I want to fight the Green Arrow. And then I said a bunch of things that I can't repeat on stage. And I was like, no. I'm a dad. And then it kicks him out of the bar.
Okay, the end.
That's
All right. So in case you're wondering, that's the real story from his mouth. And let's get into predictions.
We need to hit the last, 2 minutes of the episode because that is our segue into Legends of Tomorrow.
Go.
Yes.
We have them getting out of the Matrix hallucination, finding... I love alien laser guns. They're just so stupid looking.
And so intuitive.
intuitive. Design principles are universal. Finding a dropship, failing to pilot the dropship because what am alien interface? Evidently, these are not universal. And getting picked up by the Wave Rider. And right when that happened, I was thinking, oh, they're in space. They're going to have to use the Wave Rider next episode to, oh, it's here already.
Hey!
Yeah, okay!
Yeah. And there was Buns of Steel for his brief moment.
Yes, we see Steel show up, and they're looking for...
Yeah, and Gideon's able to translate the phrase, like, the weapon's almost ready. Well, that's not good.
That's never good.
Yeah.
So, prediction music.
After Buzz TV predictions.
I'm actually going to start with our guest, because she's our guest.
Whoa.
And I have not allowed you to talk as much as I would love to hear you.
Be our guest.
Go ahead.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts about Arrow. I mean, as we already mentioned, there will be, the resolution to the Artemis betrayal next episode. I feel that they will find out. So that'll go on. But I know that Talia al Ghul is supposed to be part of the show in the next half.
Wow.
And it's supposed to be flashback. So I wonder how she ties in with Russia. And that may, we may see Sarah, I'm hoping, with the Uncles. Because that's where she would have been.
I have
some interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Because you'd mentioned flashbacks, and one of the things the producers had said is they'd only planned on doing flashbacks for 5 years. He was gone for 5 years. It's been 5 seasons. And then he said, well, we didn't really expect the show to do this well. I can't believe you actually admitted that out loud.
Yeah,
but
we
didn't
think we'd have a massive TV universe now.
So now, he said there won't be. I do believe he said they're after this season, they're done with flashbacks. But then there's this crazy thing that Stephen Amell had said that he doesn't know if there's actually going to be any more Arrow after this, that potentially this could be the last season.
Yes, they've talked about wanting to get back to basics and do what they excel at doing, and his comments seem to suggest that if they get to the end of this year and feel like they didn't do that, then they really have to think about what the value is in continuing.
Yeah, and that makes sense because we've seen what happens when shows go on for too long. I mean, Supernatural's on the same network, and Supernatural had issues for a very long chunk of time.
But this season is really good. Rick Springfield is Lucifer, guys. That's too
much. Yeah, no, Supernatural has gotten better, but Supernatural was supposed to end after a certain point, and then they were like, no, keep renewing it. It brings the fans in. And so for a while, the series really suffered.
Sure.
And on the flip side, and this is my go-to example, Gravity Falls. 2 seasons, but it had a plan.
Sure.
And it was executed well. It's not a series that would have done well being dragged out. And Arrow, I think, is somewhere in the middle. Like, we're really successful. We're still really successful. Oh my God, what are we doing? And so I like this idea of thinking about it and saying, where do we need to go? How do we want to end things? And having a sort of planned end date so they're not just spinning us along endlessly trying to keep things going.
Yeah, I would definitely prefer you end your story and then keep Stephen Amell around as one of your network contracted players and have him show up everywhere. Although, to be fair, he's also been playing the same character for 5 years and maybe he is ready to do something else and come back periodically.
Yeah.
So I understand. As much as I would miss the show and I hope it stays on, if that's their reasoning, I do understand.
Yeah. But he also said, too, don't worry, guys, at the beginning of this season, someone said something, he said, don't worry, I've signed a contract till 2020. We're good.
But that's if they decide to continue.
I was going to say, that doesn't necessarily mean.
I guess. All I know is we're getting kicked off in about 30 seconds. Do we want to say any quick anything predictions in the 30 seconds that we have?
So in the promo for tomorrow night's conclusion, it sounds like the Dominators issue an ultimatum to Earth to turn over at least the Flash, or they will presumably destroy the planet. I love that because that is right out of the original crossover comic books. Turn over Earth's metahuman superheroes or pay the price. In the comic books, Earth gives the Dominators a big ol' F you. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see tomorrow because Legends of Tomorrow is really good at its gigantic set piece knockdown dragouts. And that's what we have.
Tori gets the last word. Go.
I think that the implication that their language is ancient means that we can go back in time and figure out what may have either created the Dominators or a way to defeat them using something in the past, etc.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah. Okay,
we are so
past our time. So thank you guys so much for joining us for this fantastic crossover episode. Thank you to our special guest, Lucretia. Waves and cheers, clap some more.
Lucretia.
I'm Ali Kona Bradford at BoysInBeauty01. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. Find me on Hollywood Shit. It is a podcast. I'll leave links all over my Twitter. Find me on Instagram, Blasi Blasi Blasi. Love everybody. Cherish their opinions. It's okay. We're diverse. It doesn't matter. We all love the show.
Indeed.
That's all. Go ahead.
I am Lex Michael. All over social media at The Lex Michael. Join us tomorrow night at the same time. Me, Lucretia, and special guest Tari J. Miller break down Legends of Tomorrow, the conclusion to this four-part crossover.
You have a cat hair that's doing this.
And my cat hair will be there, too.
Yeah!
Oh, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, TauriJay. And tomorrow, like he said. Yep.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at KiaJ. That is KiaXet. I am also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I am on so many shows. Monday, Z Nation just got renewed for its season 4. We're around for that. Tuesday, Star Wars Rebels. Wednesday, of course, Arrow. Hello, I'm here. Thursdays alternate between Ruby and Robots in Disguise. This week it is Ruby. Steven Universe is also back. And a final note to the chat, a bisexual woman dating a man does not mean she's not bisexual.
And that's all.
No,
drop
no, no,
the mic.
Lucretia.
To everybody in the
Lucretia.
Chat, good night.
Good.
Oh, I thought, okay, I thought
you.
Oh,
you're good.
Where are you from, Lucretia? Where can people find you?
I'm at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one.
Okay, now for reals, good night. Goodbye. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
We love you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Crossover, 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 crossover.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.